This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, this is our prayer. This is our desire. This is our longing that we will always have you before our eyes. This is our strong desire, Lord Jesus, that in our secret hearts, Lord, no other love will compare, no other love will compete with your love. Father, that no throne will survive, no throne will survive, that we will come to service. We will come to service. We will come to serve you, Jesus. We will come to serve you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I have prayed, we have prayed, oh God, that it will be another encounter with Jesus. Another encounter with Jesus, our Savior, who needs to be our Lord. Oh, Jesus, I pray, and I have prayed that he will baptize our heart again. Every heart, Lord. I'm asking for every heart. I am asking for every heart. An encounter with Jesus, the Son of God. An encounter with Jesus that saves. Lord, I am praying for an encounter. I am praying for an encounter. I am praying for an encounter with Jesus, the Savior. With Jesus, the Lord. The Spirit of God. We ask for leading and direction. In the name of Jesus. Oh, help us again. Come to us again. Help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help me again. Help me. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the anointing. The anointing to teach. To teach. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Jesus is ready for us. So we'll look at, you know, what is the born-again experience? What are the important things you need to know? What is redemption? What is the original state of man? What is the price for redemption? What is the token for redemption? No one is saying, what was the price? Because of us, we pirates, born again. It seems that some people, maybe if the Lord gives, will call altar call, you know, so that you will accept Jesus as your Lord. And because that you are coming to church does not mean you are born again. You know, we'll look at, you know, what was the price that was paid? What was the state? Why redemption? You know, we will look at, you know, what is the token? Token means like, you know, like the gift, a visible representation of something, which is the new man. Because if you don't understand it, you have problem with when I awake in his likeness. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things I will start with, firstly, is that when we look at redemption, there is a purpose for it. There is a goal for it in God's mind. Now, you know that there's a difference between purpose and goal. When you say goal, goal means like a specific desire outcome. But when we talk about purpose, purpose means the reason for your existence. So there is a goal of redemption and there's a reason for it. Okay? There's a purpose for it. And one of the things that is very, very key when we look at Genesis 3:1-15, when the Lord says, I will put enmity between who? Between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his what? So, firstly, that's a desire that come, because we are still going to look at the original state of man, you know, to first address this. But the purpose, the purpose of redemption is that Romans 1:20. Is that creation was made for God to show forth his eternal power and Godhead. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So there is, you see that eternal power, we have come to know there is actually the dimension of God's everlasting life. And why the Godhead is his what? Eternal life. So the goal of redemption is to address the issue that happened at the fall. Why the purpose is actually to ensure that the reason why God started the journey of redemption is that man, what happened in Genesis 3 can actually start. Now, the journey starts with God himself, you know, through a man, becoming a man as the second person. That's the second person, the God that became a man. And he progressed to the fact that he was born. A new birth experience. He grew. He was born. He went through all he went through. And he accumulated to everlasting life and eternal life. So, that journey of redemption started with God. The journey of redemption started with God. It started with the giving of God to man. And that God became flesh. Dwelt among us, grew up like man, and therefore he also became all the measure of life that is in God. Amen. Now, when you say redemption, you know, there are three ways that redemption was referred to. There's something called agorazo. Say agorazo. It talks about when you buy back. When you buy, you purchase something as a property. You know, when you read Revelations 5:9, said thou hast redeemed us unto God. So redemption has three connotations. It talks about when you buy. He says, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So you see, that redeemed there is agorazo, meaning that you have been bought. Amen. But there's another word for redemption called exagorazo. When you buy up something, for an instance, you purchase a slave with view of freedom. Now, you can see that in Galatians 3. When you are saying, I'm redeemed, know what you are saying. Because all of us, don't you use the word? You must know what you are saying. It is not a, it's not a, it's not a parroting. You must know. You know, the weight of everything of our foundation as a believer, it must dawn on us if you want to do well in the day of the Son of God. So, the other one also means when you purchase, the Bible says in Galatians 3:13, it says, redeem us from the curse of the law. Can we read it, church? It says, Christ has redeemed us from a curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that angeth. So, what that exagorazo is when, you know, someone has been, you know, you have purchased a slave with the view of freedom. Amen. Then, there's another word that redemption also connotes. It talks about lutro. It means to set free, to obtain and to set free. We see that in Titus 2:14. Let's read it.
Who gave himself for us, and he can redeem us from all iniquity, and prepare unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
God's people, all these things is what Jesus got for you. Jesus bought us. We were also acquired for freedom. Hallelujah. Then we were also acquired to be rescued. So when you are saying that I am redeemed, I want it to dwell inside of you. Some people don't have that understanding. That's why there's some bondages holding them. When they redeemed us, they didn't just buy us. They, you know, you can buy something and the person is still not free. They bought us and let us free. They bought us and they released us. When you talk about redemption, it involves a prescribed ransom. When you are saying, I am redeemed, it tells you your journey. If you have ever said, I have been redeemed, God's people, there's a journey. That you are redeemed means you are coming from somewhere. It means there was a prescribed ransom. No man stumbles into redemption. One thing you must know, that man cannot save himself. You see this thing, if you don't know it, when they are talking about he's raising us, Father, he's raising us, you will not understand. If you cannot understand the basis of your redemption, you will have understanding the basis of your inheritance in God. And I want us to wake up and listen. Because if they stop you, you must be able to defend your faith. If they say, what is this redemption? You must be able to talk about your redemption. And you can see that in scripture, we see that when you talk about redemption in the Bible, silver is one of the, you know, the metals that is used for redemption. In Leviticus 27, 1 to 3, the law of redeeming a slave. If you read it, is it 1 to 13? He talks about the different measure of silver. When it comes about a male that is 20 years old, they use 50 shekels of silver. And I wonder why they redeemed Jesus with 30. I wonder why Judas, it means that you can see when they say he's despised. When they say he's despised, they don't even rate him according to the normal redemption price. He was despised that he could not even qualify for the 50 shekel. When the scripture was saying that he was despised, because when they were going to redeem Joseph was redeemed with 20 shekels of silver. And that was the price for a young man, because you know Joseph was a teenager. You know, he was less than 20. At least for Joseph, they even paid the correct price. But for our Lord Jesus, who is despised of all men, now 30 shekel of silver that was used for him. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Now, the penalty of sin was actually death. See, when you hear death, don't think Jimasu. Don't think that somebody has died and is not waking up. Think separation. Say separation. How many people have your heart be broken and it looks like you will die? Maybe your loved one left you. Maybe not a loved one. Or maybe you lost somebody dear to you and the person was like a source of life. Or you've lost a parent at a tender age. At a tender age, I had, growing up, there was a friend of ours then that lost their parents, and it just looked like that was the end. Sin created a gulf. Say gulf. It was a separation. See, if you want to understand, you know, people say, Adam was still talking to God. Excuse me, why God was looking for Adam was because he had died. He was not where he was kept. Otiku, where are you? You see that, where are you? You are not there. You are dead. There's a separation. So as nature now, but even sin by what you commit does not leave you the same. Anytime you yield to sin in the motions of your body, you die. So we saw that the wages of sin, but the gift of God is what? Is eternal life. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. We see that in John 1:29. That next day, I think when he said, John was speaking, he said, behold the Lamb of God, who does what? Exactly. So, you know, God as a creator, there's no way he's not going to be interested in his creation. That the enemy has left in chaos. Satan is very chaotic. Anywhere there's a rambu, Satan is there. Satan is chaotic. Satan entered the world of man. See the chaos. There's no way he enters that he lives the same. You know, there's some tendencies that as a human, as a believer, if you exhibit it, if you're a disruptive fellow, that thing is just like when they take some part of coal of hell from Satan and it's on you and you're exhibiting it. You know, you shouldn't be somebody that you like chaos. You know, some people that they thrive in chaos. Some people even put it, I thrive in chaos as part of their strength. You don't just divide and rule. It's satanic. And there are mindsets that teaches this as a curriculum of leadership. They teach it that you need to learn to divide people and scatter people, and then so that your influence is all satanic. We are still going there. You see, this lesson is going to expose the adversary. You see, because the original state of man was a man was the center of attraction to all of God's creation. You can say that man is an object of the entity of God's love. John 3:16. He said, for God, can you read it? When you say the word, put your name there. For God so loved Modupe that he gave his only begotten son, that when she believes in him, she will not perish, but have everlasting life. So when you are hearing Psalm 8:4, to read it up. And you know what I'm saying? You should read it. When Satan lies to you that you are not loved, he lies. The reason why he's even telling you that lie is because the truth. He knows the truth. You don't know. He said, what is man? They didn't say, who is man? They said, what? What does man constitute? Kilo one, you know, because you this thing just shows that when heavens is looking at judgment, they are not looking at who are you. I am honorable. I am this. I am that. No, what? When they are looking at your born again, what they are looking at is your stature. What are you? What constitutes you? When you understand all of this basis, see some lies that Satan comes to tell us that you are not loved, see your life, he doesn't care. You will not take it. This thing has not entered you. When you enter, you will know. You don't understand. You will know that even when things might not work, it doesn't touch that thing. It doesn't touch that foundation that for God so loved Modupe. For God so loved Modupe that he gave his only begotten son for her. He said, what is Modupe? Can you put your name here? That thou art mindful of her. And the son of man that you are visiting her. Say, for God has made him a what? A little lower than angels. And as what? That thou has made him to have dominion over the works of thy. And has put all things under his what? His feet. This same thing is replicated in Hebrews 2. 6 to 7. So it's important we know that even when our Lord Jesus was going to come, Philippians 2, 5. Please, you must know this thing that I'm saying. Because you must be able to teach it. You cannot even talk about the hope of your salvation. When Jesus was going to come, look at this. You see, God is in love with man. It's you and I that look and commonize our, even Satan lost after man. He lost after man. And you know, because Satan hates God, he hates you and I. He knows that man, object of God's attention. I mean, me, I always feel personally that it's part of the things beef that Satan had for God. That maybe God is talking, you know, there's one I see want to create. Maybe he has been saying it. And he's looking at, which other one? He said, there's one I see want to, which other one? Why cannot even be? You know, he said when he was going to come, can we read this together? He said, let this man be in you, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Our Lord Jesus, when he was going to come, did he make him a cherubim or a seraphim? Did he make him works or dominion? He came in the form of what? Of a man. Now, can I also say this? You know, one of you, when I read this some weeks back, I said, he came in the form of a servant. So, man is actually ought to be a servant of God. He said, form of a servant. You know, man, he took that form to serve, but man, gangan, was actually supposed to, his real kingdom was to serve God. So when God was making man, he was creating creatures that will offer service. Genesis 1:27. It says, God said, let us what? Create man in our image and our likeness. And God what? Let's see, read that 27. So God created man in his what? Image. And where? So we can say from here that the spirit and soul dimension of man, the invisible dimension of man, was done in Genesis 1. So when you look at one man has visible and invincible. Then in Genesis 2:7, Bible says, and God formed the man. So the forming is the visibility. And the Bible says, the man, God breathed into man, and man became what? A living soul. So you see, when science is telling you they are making man, they can only make the visible one. But that, you see that invisible part, me, I know it's evil spirits. You know, we willingly give them that. Amen. So one day you shouldn't be surprised. But you see that invisible part, God created it. So you must know that when you are looking at yourself, you should know that as I am, I have invisible and visible aspect of me. You see, many of us, the only thing we know about ourselves is your visible aspect. The only thing you take care of is your visible aspect. The only thing you pursue is the comfort of your visible aspect. Everything is about the visible. The visibility, the mind. A man is a man that is a fool that will not pay attention to the invisible aspect of himself. Because you see, the visible is determined by the invisible. That which is what? Unseen determines the visible. You see, invisible things is what is bringing manifestation of what you are. What you cannot see. What you cannot see holds a lot of strength over you. Adam was supposed to journey. He was supposed to journey from being made image and likeness to a place where he could partake of the tree of life. It was supposed to be a journey. So you can say that Adam was a type of a son of God. Luke 3:38. He was a type of a son of God.
Which was?
Son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Amen. But of course, we know what happened. Eve was deceived. 1 Timothy 2:4. But Adam disobeyed. You know, people say that it's the woman that gave me fruit. You see, one of the things that happens with a man that will not thrive is a man that when things happen to, he blames others. Do you know why David was a man after God's heart? Look at men that were accosted in their sin. His response is one response. Bible says, when Nathan came, David came down from his throne and fell. Our daddy Adam pointed to Eve. That is this woman that you did what? You do know it's not Eve he was even pointing to. It was God. The woman that you gave me. It was God. Hey, why are you blaming me? Not be you give me this woman. But you know that what was speaking, it is the manifestation of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam was not deceived, but was in transgression. So, and of course, we know that when even this, our mother Eve, was partaking of this fruit, our father Adam was with her. And she did eat with her husband. You understand? But you see, the workings of what Satan had in mind only came to play when Adam did what? Ate it. You see, the place of headship. The place of what? Headship. That's why when scriptures talk about that when you have an unbelieving believer, as long as the other person is still standing the ground, there could have been salvation. So we saw that journey, and it's important that we also know that Satan ate us. I've said it, but you see, when we always say Satan ate us, it does not mean that we are afraid of his hate. Because God loves us. Jeremiah 31:3. Can you read it? Love. Therefore, with loving kindness, have I done what? God's people, is Satan's hatred can never be compared to his love. They say his love is everlasting love for you and I. Amen? So Jesus came to replay what Adam failed. Jesus obeyed everywhere Adam did what? Failed. Amen. So Ephesians 2 says, by nature we are children of what? Wrath. The Bible says all man's righteousness is a filthy rag. You see that rag there? Is the rag they used for menstrual circle in olden days. When they say we are unclean and all are righteous as what? Filthy what? So we cannot of our own work out salvation. They say filthy rag. That's what they call it. And Ephesians 2 says, we were all children of disobedience. We did pass from what generation? Death entered through Adam. It was not expressed until Cain, you know, also opened it up. And we see the way sin journeyed. Bible calls it in Romans, it says sin reigned. He said, when we are without strength. Romans 5. I wanted to also see our state. You see, because what's the devastation that the adversary did? It was a great devastation. When we were without strength. Read it. For when we were without what?
Strength.
In due time. For scarcely. For a what? A good man. Some were even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us. In that while we were what? Why we were not? So, you know, a good man. Jesus was a righteous man. I mean, who dies for anybody? So, our spirit was saved at new birth, okay? Jesus paid the penalty of death on the cross to quicken our spirit. And one of the things he did was that at new birth, we were quickened. We were quickened, we were redeemed at new birth in our spirit. He quickened our spirit, but there was not only quickening he did. He also what? You know, he purchased our soul and our body. So when you say you are quickening your spirit is added to the body of Christ. Say,
my spirit
is added to the body of Christ.
You
say, my soul and my body,
my soul
is added to the church for salvation. This is why you need to be part of the church.
Yes.
And all of what we saw through the Old Testament, through Malachi, to the New Testament, to Malachi was the unfolding of the plan of redemption of God for man. Amen? That was all what we saw. And when you say, you know, the New Testament, the basis is what our Lord Jesus, you know, actually did. Amen. One of you might ask that, why did God allow, you know, Adam to choose? And somebody asked that question. Why didn't you just put tree of life? Because if God did that, the legality of redemption and salvation would be rendered void. Because Satan would have accused God. Just like he accused God before for Job. He said, you put a hedge around him. Hey, remove the hedge now. Let me see whether he will still choose. Because we must know that we have an adversary. Because people, the adversary, Satan, had fallen before the creation of man. So he has been our adversary even before man was created. You don't understand. You know, have you heard of some Ogun Idile? That before a child was even born, the Ogun has been fighting them. Uh-huh. So Satan is our Ogun Idile from eternity past. He's Ogun Idile because he has been fighting our father God. The real Ogun Idile is Satan. The real Ogun Idile is not your uncle. The Ogun Idile, because he's Ogun Idile, from the war, there was war in everyone. You know, he fought and fought and fought and he reached our domo. Everlasting enemy. So, it was important that we know that even though God is God, God is not wanting a man that will not follow him. Because what God created was not a robot. He created a man with a will. He created a man. You know, let me tell you, you can't follow God if you are still cajoled and sight. You can turn. That's why Satan possesses people. You know, you see possession. Possession, for an instance, when they say somebody is possessed by a demon, is Satan evil spirits taking hold of a person's mind? Is he evil? You know, Satan is a breaker of every law. He breaks the law of the spirit. You do not take possession. And that's why if you're a control freak, that thing is evil. It's a demonic operation. Because men must follow. Because men must willfully place their allegiance. You know, God's servant is talking about the principle of the bond servant. Men must follow. So, when you know, as we are doing these lessons, you will begin to have some eyes to see some nature. So, any man that we follow, you know, that we follow the Lamb, are men that they have on their own, they have pledged allegiance. When you read Revelation, you see all those, you know, creatures, how they bore the 24 elders, how they, you know, you see when they say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, they serve only one. They have allegiance for only one. When God got you born again, the reason for you to start your journey of being born again was to start a journey where you will come to full and total allegiance to God. As long as sin still wink at you and I and you still respond, you have not come to total allegiance. As long as infirmity, I don't know whether boys still toast people. In our days, they used to toast. They said, and you. So as long as you can still respond, it means that you still want something. He doesn't want people that would do like this, either here or there. So we must see that when it comes to the issue of what Satan did, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And of course, the fall of man had consequence. Consequence of separation of death, spiritual death, brokenness, physical death, glory departed. I mean, we saw all of that in scripture. Change of lordship, oppression, sickness, diseases. It was as a result of the fall. Man was not made to be sick. Think of any bad thing in your life. Man was not made to have it. The only thing man was supposed to come into was come into more measures of life. So, we don't preach a gospel that is endorsing all those consequences of sin. You know, that's why you can't think that sickness is the dealing of God for you. Man was not made so. Man was made to have dominion. Have you ever thought that mosquito that is giving me and you malaria was not made to eat man and give man malaria? Even mosquito came into consequences of sin. You don't know that maybe Plasmodium was an inverted thing that was supposed to better. Maybe when mosquito bite us, we're supposed to make our skin fresh. No, have you ever thought about it? Yes, because creation was supposed to work together to bring forth purpose. So when you hear that the whole creation, they groan. When man ate the fruit, excuse me, lion was not made to eat flesh. Do you know that there was a sensation that hit lion? That he started having cravings for blood. I want to eat this sheep. You should not see serpent. Serpent was stalking. Serpent was not made to sting man. So when you see every evil thing, it is the result of the fall. War, everything. This was not the world man was placed in. See, that's why when you are playing with those things, you do not stay there. Lack was part of the fall. See all this gold that men discovered. It was all in the ground, buried. There are some things that men was not supposed to go to discover. I want you to know the impact of what happened to man. Something happened to us. We were not only separated from God. We were separated from coming into, journeying to what man was created for. Please know it. So that when you see the result and the consequence of sin, there's an anger that should be rising up inside of you. You should not be at home with it. The good thing is that, you see, this fall of man was not an happenstance in the volume of books of God. The Bible says that before the foundation of the world, was the lamb was
slain.
He was slain before where? So when you hear our parents say that Satan is a servant in God's hand, say Bernie. Oma savwa until we enter salvation. When Satan is doing a man, he's serving God. Because what he's doing is he wants to see the power of God. He said, all that dwell on the head shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Read it. Slain what? So that, you know, Satan self, you know, we're looking for who will help them. When God made man, they needed a creature to help test what was made. I mean, when somebody manufactured, don't they test it? You know, some people volunteer as test products. But they don't know which creature can, because they definitely needed a creature higher than man to test him. When you are going to test something, have you ever seen when they are testing a car? They bring all these Formula One drivers to come and drive it. They don't drive it like what you are doing on our terminal bridge that you are still screaming. Somebody that will press it as if it's stone he put on the accelerator. You know? Because they need to test the efficacy. So when they were going to test man, they did not take from the property. They cannot use another man to test man. They have to bring somebody stronger. But you see that stronger, you see, because that person has to be an adversary. That person has to test without laws. They need a lawless one. Don't test this product. That's why I want you to know that Satan is not, you know, there's a way that you have taught redemption to be that God and Satan are fighting. God and Satan are not fighting. He is a servant. He was created a servant. And his fall did not elevate him. He's still a servant. So he fell into that. They are using him. Something about the Godhead is that, oh, fear the Godhead. Fear God. They were using him. And he just felt, okay, yeah. On his own, he made himself appear. He came up on his own. I said, okay, thank you. Hello him, you know, we got a toe, you know, and he went ahead. He went ahead foolishly. This world, the foundation of it, lamp, lafiche. So, when you are talking about the price for redemption, the price, you know, I told you that when you are talking redemption, there's a prescription. The price for redemption is the blood of a sinless man and who has been tempted at all points. Hebrews 4:15. Tempted as we are, yet without what? 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore, which are God's. You know, we live our life as if there's no price on our head. They say you are bought with a price. Oh, understand, Kotonso. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify. You are bought. You are the price. You don't understand. Satan collected the price on our head. You were bought with a price. So the price was the blood. You see, when you talk about blood, blood is life. Our biology, our science people, you see, blood is essential for life. It is what sustains the life of the flesh, which enables life. Blood is where? Blood is life. If you look at, there are things that are constituted in a blood. Plasma, abi? White blood cells. Eh? What else again? Red blood cells. What else again? Platelets. All in the blood. So, the blood, it is life. So, Satan was asking for blood. He was asking for blood. Shebi, he wants to redeem somebody. You give me blood. And that blood, he wanted his own life to be replicated. What he should have done was to ask for a man of sin, not for blood. Because a being, a creature can custode a life, because blood is life, that can actually kill him. Because the sacrifice Satan took was a sacrifice that is a hit for him forever. Calvary, Calvary, when you hear Calvary, I don't even know, you know this knockout blow. Forever, Calvary is a knockout blow in the kingdom of hell. To the list of them, the story of Calvary. To the list of every demon, the story of Calvary is a destruction. So the blood of Jesus, plays a role, because why? What Jesus custodied in his blood was the life. Let me tell you, in the blood of Jesus, there was a accumulation of life he lived in the days of the flesh and what he became. That's why when our parents are teaching us about Jesus, you know, they are not just teaching of Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. They are teaching of Jesus that grew. You see, in that blood, the growth is there. That blood has antidotes. You know, that's why at new birth, the blood is relevant. Relevant for justification, relevant for atonement, relevant for redemption, relevant for reconciliation. At new birth, at the salvation of our soul, the blood is relevant for redemption, forgiveness of sins. Again, cleansing, upgrading our conscience, you know, sanctification. You know, redeeming us, offering to God. The blood is relevant. Because through the blood, an higher life that can overcome, devil is given. Blood is life. Blood is invisible written laws. When you touch the blood of Jesus, you touch laws. Blood takes away both natural, carnal. Because in blood, there's the essence of the revelation of life. And the faith of the Son in the blood. You know, when it comes to antidote of sin, death, iniquity, is custodied in the blood. You know, it's not only life, he get voice. You don't understand, blood that can speak. Yes, Hebrews 12. The mystery of the blood is even just unveiling. At new birth, we don't know it. How many of you have plead the blood of Jesus? I plead the blood of Jesus. You know, scripturally, there's no way that tells us to plead the blood of Jesus. We sprinkle the blood of Jesus. Amen. Some of us, we put it on our car, on our house, on our children, you know. It's not a legal term. You know, but you know, something about the Lord is that he sees our hearts and he honors it. So, but you stand on the basis of the blood of Jesus. If you have understanding, when he's saying, I plead the blood of Jesus again, you are going to stand on the basis of what the blood custodes for you. That's to show that you have understanding. We plead it on our cars, we plead it on our shoes, on our houses. Blood is not for all those things. Oh, did you hear what I said? The blood that speaks. When they were going to place it, the first time we encountered the blood, they put it in the lintel of their house. And when you are talking about blood, the blood of Jesus is not a J, it's not red pigment. We come in contact with it by teaching, preaching of the revelation of Jesus through the ministry gifts, sprinkling by obedience. You know, just as death makes water precious, sin, iniquity makes the blood of Jesus precious. That, you know, the way we can't live without water, we must come to a place where we can't live without the blood. You know, because what makes water precious? Water is available in any nation of the world. No matter how they bottle it, it is still what? It's still H2O. It is available, is all to be, is accessible. The same way, what brings the preciousness of the blood of Jesus is what he does. We've been hearing it in the ministry of the blood. You know what they are talking about. They are talking about redemption. They are talking about the things that make you. Remember, redemption is not only about redeeming us from the curse of the law. It's not only about delivering us from the hand of Satan. It's about giving us an inheritance. Because you see, redemption also ought to have happened to Adam. You know, the redemption has an initial work and a progressive work. Because Adam ought to have been upgraded to be able to receive the reward of eternal life. So when they are teaching us, what they are administering is blood. You see, whenever you hear our ministers, they administer the blood. Redemption. You know, there's a way it works. The blood works. Even when we have pled the blood of Jesus, did it not work? I shouted, the blood of Jesus, it worked. Because the blood will answer you. But you see, what he custodes is beyond the things we think it is for. Jesus died for all men. Now, it's good we know. Whether the man accepts it or not, Jesus died for you. So, please, know it. Is there anybody you've thought that they can never be born again? Jesus died for the person. Whether men accept it or not, he died for them. Jesus is not only died for us, he died as us. What he endured was emotional trauma. What he endured was physical torment. What he endured was spiritual agony. Just because of obedience, sacrifice, and service to God. Do you know Jesus went through emotional trauma? He had the opportunity to negotiate himself out of the will of God at Gethsemane. But he did not. You know, through what he went through, his condemnation, his torture. Do you know what it is? That men were possessed by wicked spirits. Bible says Satan filled his heart. Men, those Pharisees, it was wicked spirits that possessed them. Men were possessed by wicked spirits for Jesus to endure that torture. Should be you always say we have our spirit. Take your eyes off the physical and see the conversation that was happening. So our Lord Jesus, he stood trial for what he did not do. When they accuse you wrongly, all hell is loose. Everybody must hear. A man refused to open up his mouth. Do you know what it cost him to just elder? Do you know? That is power. When you have the power to have access to millions of agents and yet you hold it. You know, some of us, the reason why we are not seeing some powers is because we have not learned the ability to be meek and follow. You see, a meek man will want to do the will of another. He endured the wrath of wicked spirit. You don't know what he tormented. I just imagine that legion, like Cursed and Gadara, when Jesus died. Because you see, on that cross, Jesus was two lamps. He was the lamp of atonement. He was also the lamp that was being the scapegoat. You know, when they are doing redemption, you know, he was both. You know, that examination of those, when they were asking him questions, all those examinations, they were examined for impurity. You know, just the way they would check the lamb for blemish. He had no blemish. Oh, do you understand? When he was keeping mouth, the Bible says, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. He did not talk because of you. He held his mouth because of the joy that was set before him. So when they examined him, when they examined him in this law, they found nothing. They said the prince of this world, Satan, came. You know, he said he has come and found nothing. They found nothing. Jesus was a worthy sacrifice. In the courts of hell, Jesus was a worthy sacrifice. In the court of heaven, they examined him. Both Satan was looking. Even both the emissaries above were looking at this lamb. They looked at him. And that's why what his blood custodied is not ordinary. Touch the blood of Jesus, death will flee away. So when they examine him on that, because that was what he was. He was atonement. He was also the scapegoat. That's why he was led away to Golgotha. He was a scapegoat outside of the city. You know what that means? It means that there's no depth at which you have journeyed away from God. Whether you are far, the far you have gone away from, Jesus can reach you. There is no soul that cannot be redeemed though. And you see, that is atonement. There's nothing a man has done. I don't know what it is that Satan has used to hit you up as guilt. But I'm saying that, you see this lamb, say, he bore it all. I was talking about wicked spirit. Have you thought about that legion that he cast out when Jesus appeared in hell? You know, after Jesus, Satan took him, he did not know what he was taking. Yes, we have killed him. He knew that this one was a son of God. But he killed him. He possessed people. He thought death. You know, Satan felt that death. You know, that separation. Because you must know that what happened to Jesus was not only physical separation. Satan thought that, you know, when a man has gone, been so separated from God, he felt that was the end of a man. That's what he thought, because that was what he did to Adam. You see that separation? Jesus was separated from God. When he said, why have you forsaken me? Spirit, soul, and body was detached. So that was his confidence that he lay at the gate here. The legion that he cast out of Gadara. Have you imagined how that legion would have dealt with Jesus? What they would have been trying to do where he was. You know all the demons he casted out. No, have you thought about how they would have been rejoicing? Wondering, who, we got him. Who, we got him. Son, we got him. Isn't that the way? Who, we got him. They did not understand that the patience of God, the long suffering of God, how he endured watching his son. Isaiah 53. He not only died for us, he died as us. Isaiah 53. He said, who had believed our reports? And to whom is the arm of God? What? Before he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of a dry ground. He had no form or what? No comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him that we shall desire him. You see why some people despise? He said he was despised and what? Some of you, they despise us. We want to die. Say this man was despised. Do you know what rejection is? Some of us, rejection has plagued us from being able to journey with God. Rejection. Our Lord was rejected of men. A man of sorrow. You don't understand. Grief is his life. We hid as we are faced from him. He was what? Despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he had borne what? Why are you bearing grief that he has borne? He said he carried our what? Brother and sister, I am sorrowful. Somebody carried it. He said, yet we did esteem him what? Smitten of God and what? Afflicted. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him and his stripes. You see, some of us, we need to understand the bruising of what happened to Jesus. They slapped him. They slapped the Savior of the Lord. Slapped him. You see that thing they used to flog Jesus? They call it flagrum. Flagrum is not koboko. Flagrum is made up of metal, broken scraps, broken bones with leather. They flogged him from his head down to his legs. When flagrum hits a body, it scrapes the skin. It's not that it's giving you mark. Oh, my scrape when he scrape the skin. You know how many stripes he took? How many stripes? 39 stripes. And that's why he said, by his stripes you are healed. You don't understand. Science has proved that all the sicknesses in this world, they are under 39 categories. Jesus, when it comes to healing, he did not need to ascend. His stripes alone. The same way with sickness. Are there some illnesses in your mind? They said he took 39 stripes. See, just to let you know the pain, but blood was flowing out of his body. They put that robe. See that robe they put? You would think they were just going. That robe went. You know, they removed it again. Everything that was drying, they pulled it out again. For more than 23 hours, your Savior had not seen sleep. No wonder when, by the time they pierced his body, water and blood came out. That is serious suffocation. You don't know what has happened to him. You know, blood mixed with water. Blood mixed with water. See, that's why you see, in church, we have abundance of water and blood. It flowed out of Jesus. The Bible says they put a crown of thorns. See, thorns is not the one that you think that we are using for baby Jesus. What makes thorns? If you have ever seen thorn, if thorn has ever pricked you, they put him on his head. And you now say your head is cursed. You don't understand that this head, the only thing your head can carry is only the blessing of God. Jesus typified everything Satan made man to be. And when they say they nailed him, if the hand of Thomas can pass through, it will give you the idea of the size of the nail. That nail is not pin. His hand could go through. They nailed him to the cross. Cause is anyone that hangs on a tree? I want you to understand what redemption is. So I'm just trying to say that when you are in church, we are here for the business of redemption for somebody that paid price. Your life can never be useless. Did you see the price of a human being? The Son of God. That costed life. Your life can never be useless. You know? The Bible says he was naked as a lamb. You say my nakedness. When they are telling us to be naked. He was naked as a lamb. Before his shearer. Have you ever seen when they are shearing a sheep. And they are removing his covering. Your Lord was made naked. You know the way we naked things and iniquity. Darknesses, he was naked. They removed all his covering. That was all the covering of his glory. His stature and his glory was removed. Jesus went to hell as the weakest captive. He looked like the fallen spirit. And this weakest spirit, they took him as an offering when all grace was taken. He looked like wicked spirit. Jesus looked like sin. Said he was made sin. And so he appeared in there and they took him. Satan took an offering. You should be able to talk about your redemption story. At least to the point of being born again. You must be able to speak this story. That one died for me. There's one that paid the price. You know when people say this one, excuse me, did you die for me? You know sometimes when you follow the opinion of others, you need to ask yourself, who died for you? Now the person where you die for you, now you're supposed to follow. Satan has no say in your life. He didn't die. Satan cannot give you nada. Satan does not give. He's a taker. He's a destroyer. He comes to steal. He cannot give. God gives all. At the cross, sin was fulfilled. I mean, they've taken offering and they've taken all. But you see that separation from God, and then while he was there and he just looked like one of them, Satan thought they had conquered. Ahu. This one is here. Ahu. We are falling. Not me today. Satan, the false sons of men. You don't they kill prophets, cut their heads, son of men, all sons of son of men, kill them, fail them. Ahu. Ahu. You know, rejoice. We have brought this one down. But he did not know. Bible says, I didn't know. It would not have what? That is his testimony over you and I. I didn't know. You see, that's why when Satan is doing many things and we are seeing many trials, this one, that one, I didn't know. Roman Ben here. It is because there's a resurrection that is coming. And the Bible says, at the third day, you see, Jesus' resurrection was a mystery to Satan and his fallen spirit. I'm sure till today he still doesn't understand that technology. Though it was a sin offering, he had done obedience. Hell could not hold him down because he had obeyed God unto the uttermost. He did what? To the point of dying. He had obeyed God to what? A man that obeys, fear him. To today, he can't explain this mystery of what happened to a man that was made sin. He cannot explain it because it was sin offering. Now, you see, the power of sin and hell is broken over us when we do obedience, sacrifice, and service. Obedience enables the working of God's power in our life. The Bible says that it was the glory of God. He was raised through the faith operation of God and operated his glory. So you see, God is not afraid of hell. It was in hell he bettered a son. In hell, the hell was a bad place. So when you are reading, you know those psalms, I hope you have been reading all those psalms. When they say darkness and everything, it's nothing. Because the power of God and the operation, now hell, they came. When God was going to raise his son, he raised him in hell. So when you are going through hell, hell is not outside of God. Say, I don't know your hell, though. But there was a hell, the real hell. That one was there. And the operation raised Jesus. I wish we can even see the picture. Just so you know, a video of how the thing jammed them. Only God knows what landed. Baga! Hey! Oh, de! Oh, de! Oh, de! Agware shuda! Nibi tije subeng joba! Agware shuda! Ko siyo oti wo! Right there, he rose up. And the Lord raised him. He preached to prisoners. He preached to saints of old. He preached to Abraham, Omoti, Gio, Emirel. All of them, they were expecting him. He preached to them. He preached to the souls that were in bondage. He preached to them. And he did not go alone. He took them with him. He took saints with him. He preached. He said, yeah, hey, I'm the one you spoken about. I know Solomon was upset. Ah, the one whom I love. Really? You know that scripture? It says, many waters cannot what? Cannot drown it. That scripture came alive. And our Lord Jesus rose. So the story of Jesus is not the story of dying on the cross. That's not the end of it. That's why I always have issues when people that wear cross and it shows Jesus on the cross. I always like if Jesus is not on the cross and you just wear cross. Because that's not the end of salvation story. He didn't just die. He rose. You see that rising forever when it comes to the power of Satan and all his working was dealt with. But you see, he did not just rise. He went again as an high priest. He went to the tabernacle in heaven for to offer that same blood. That blood that will qualify us for inheritance. Ability to come. You see that tree of life? So you can see that the coming of Jesus was not only to undo redemption of Satan. His death, his resurrection and all of that undoed that. Colossians 12. He said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. So you can see that it was a faith operation of God. Can you see what the faith of God can do? And you being dead in your sin and your circumcision of your flesh, at he quickened together with him, having forgiven all. When you become born again, all your trespasses. What did I say? Did I say some? Some of you that Satan torments with what you did. The Bible says, did what? All. Because you trespassed. Laws you trespassed in ignorance. He said, be quickened at new birth. What you have done in the past He gave what? Because I've seen some born again Christians, what happened to them? I did this, I committed abortion, I killed somebody, I stole this, I saw that. When you become born again, all your trespasses. He said, doing what? Blotting out what? Yes, so handwriting, that was what his death, his burial, his resurrection did, which was contrary to us, and took it
out of the way.
So, you see, things that will stop you from journeying. Some people come, you know, there's a curse in my family. This is scripture that addresses that. There's a curse that has been pursuing me in my family. All of us in this family, we don't, they say, they, what are the handwriting? They say, he did what? He blotted. Do you know what they call blot? Order. He raised it. He says, so this one is doing me. This one is doing me. I did this, you know. Sick. I'm not saying, they say blot. And I don't know which kind of handwriting is your own, no. I don't know what they've written in your family or what Satan has written. But you see, at new birth, he blotted all handwriting and ordinance, which was contrary to what? To you. And took it out of the way. They need to take it out of the way. Because they see Johnny O. They say, Nelly need to wear. Multi command belabel. Where are the ordinary writings written against you? Multi command belabel. Where are the things that Satan has said, this one will not do? They have nailed it to the cross. You see, when they were carrying that armor, they were nailing things that he had a lamp to the cross. They nailed it. Bam! They are not supposed to do pim. He said, and having spoiled what? Principalities and powers. He made a show of them. Openly doing what? Triumphing what? Over them in it. In it. So when a believer not told to say that I am eating in my dream, I am mommy water, I am going to Kiniko, in it. Nailed it. Spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show openly of them, triumphing over them. The rising of Jesus was a triumph. A triumph that hell still recaps the story over and over and over again. There's still going to be a triumph when they see these same people who are going to inherit God. There's still going to be a triumphing. So it is wrong for you as a born again Christian, you know, to put things in your way. Handwriting of Satan. You know, things that have held you bound because they're still journeying. You see, the reason why, you know, God's servants, they will labor here and there and you cannot come to your inheritance is because you have not understood this redemption. You see, the one that happened on that cross and that resurrection. Because there's still another journey of what he did. There's what he did in the heavens. There's what he did in the heavens that gave us an inheritance. There was still an administration he carried out. This one is not about them. It was about inheritance. It was about reward. Because he can't sit until I make your enemies your footstool. So the redemption story of Jesus, God's plan is to redeem man, spirit, soul, and body. So at new birth, our spirit was added to the body of Christ. Because, you know, Jesus' spirit, soul, and his body partook of every man's sin. Jesus was a complete exchange of sin for mankind. You know, at new birth, our soul is added to the church and our spirit to the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:12-3. So our soul is added to the church and our spirit to the body of Christ. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12. You see that. And then we see the part of the soul in Acts 2. So we can see that redemption story is a story that starts with a journey of God giving himself to man. Teenagers, can you talk about your redemption story? You can talk about the price that was paid. You can talk about where God is taking you to, where God started with you. Please don't ever forget. You must know that you want God. You've got history. You go way, way, way back. You go way, way back. You want God. You've got history. You go way, way, way back. You go way, way back. Because the journey is still, but you see this way, way back, you must know it. You must know this work that was done in you. You must know the reason why you are in church. You must know what brought you to church. You came by a power. May God come to us again. I want us to begin to talk to God. I want you to thank Jesus. I want you to thank Jesus. I want you to thank Jesus. Oh, speak to Jesus. Did you hear what this son of God, Jesus, did you hear what he did for you? Did you hear? You know, some of us, you need to hear this redemption story again. And what Jesus did, what he did, where, how he started with you, and I. You know, we thank you, Jesus. Can you thank him? Can you thank him for dying for you and dying as you? Can you thank him for all that he has done for you? Can you thank him? Can you thank him for buying you back? Can you thank him for redeeming you, for setting you free? Can you talk to Jesus? Oh, Jesus. So you see, when you hear Jesus, when you say in the name of Jesus, you are talking about everything that is life custode. Can you talk to Jesus? Can you talk to Jesus?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeo Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.